I want to go back. I saw that you attended South Bend Mayor Pete Buttigieg's announcement, and it was on your birthday.
It was on my birthday.
Yeah, you said there was what a great day to go and celebrate your birthday and to see a South Bend mayor make a big announcement like that. What was that like?
It was great. It was kind of, my wife asked me, I think on Wednesday or Thursday, we don't make, I'm 54 now, so we don't make too big of a deal out of my birthday. She goes, what do you want to do on your birthday? And I said, if you really want to know the truth, I'd like to go up and support Mayor Pete. And so it's not too far from here, about an hour and 15, hour and 20 minute drive. And so it was great to go up and hear him speak. And he had a nice event. Something he should be proud of. It's packed. I think they had to turn people away. There's a lot of rain that day, so they had to move it inside on short notice. But they picked a nice venue, a piece of the old Studebaker factory. And he laid out where he stood on issues. And he's in a crowded field as you're watching this, but obviously my heart goes to mayors or former mayors that decide to seek higher office, because I think they're in a position to take on real challenges and everyday challenges and have a huge impact on people's lives. So there's a couple other mayors that are running. Cory Booker was mayor of Newark, and Castro from Texas, I think, was mayor of San Antonio. So you have a couple mayors in the field. Bernie Sanders was a mayor. So it was nice to go up there and give him a little bit of support.
Do you think, being a mayor, especially yourself, and this is a mayor show, of a city like South Bend or even Kokomo or Terre Haute or, these mid-sized cities, is that enough to give someone the credentials to be president?
I think so. I think he explains it very well. He has more executive experience in government, time-wise at least, than the president or vice president. And, we don't get to pass the buck. A lot of times the federal government issues these unfunded mandates to the states. The state, they like to give unfunded mandates to school corporations and county government and city government. We're seeing that right now with the jail population, how the state made some changes to classification of felons. So now that puts a lot of those people back into the local jails, and now you have a lot of jails scrambling to find enough beds. So mayors don't have that option. We have to, when it gets to us, we have to solve it. There's no one to pass it to except for the taxpayers, and that's not an option very often. So I think he has, being a mayor of a city with over 100,000 people, they have to have 600, 700, maybe 800 full-time employees, probably somewhere in that neighborhood. I think it gives him maybe not all the qualifications you need, but I think it puts, I'd put up his experience against many of the others.
How similar is Kokomo and South Bend? You said they're not too far apart.
Distance-wise, we're about an hour and 15, maybe an hour and 20 minutes away, directly north of Kokomo. Our city's about 58,000. They are somewhere around 104, 105, so it's a little bit larger city. Their county's larger. They have Mishawaka and Granger and some other decent-sized cities and towns. So, our population's 84. I think they're a little over 200,000. So, some similarities in the mid-sized Midwestern city, we fall into that category as well. I think we all have our unique set of challenges, but we all have similar challenges as well.
You talked about in your State of the City how good things happen when you tie cities to other parts of the state, including Indianapolis. Have you ever worked with South Bend in terms of driving the economy for this part of the state?
Not too much. I would look at our, I think we should be tied to the, and I say this not based on just a flippant opinion, but based on what the experts are saying, the economists, economic development leaders across the country, is you should try as much as possible to tie yourself to a larger metropolitan area. And when you look at Indianapolis, we're 30, minutes away from Westfield, 35 minutes away from Carmel. I can be in Indianapolis on the north side in about 45 minutes from Kokomo, from downtown Kokomo. So we get our news, we get Indianapolis television, we don't get South Bend television. So I think Kokomo's best long-term strategy should be tying ourselves to the Indianapolis metropolitan area, just like some of the other, you know, those Hamilton County and Johnson County cities and towns have done as well.
So lawmakers nearing a final decision on how much money will go to school districts, pay raises for teachers. There's a lot of news about the casinos, Terre Haute and Gary. Is there anything as the State House legislation kind of starts to wrap up? Is there anything kind of, you know, at the top of your mind right now?
The biggest thing for Kokomo locally, we were part of a larger piece of legislation to give locals the ability to increase our innkeeper's tax. And that has passed both chambers. I think it's already been sent to the governor's office, awaiting his signature. So we're part of, I think, 17 or 18 cities, towns, or counties that are part of this rolled in legislation to allow us to increase the innkeeper's tax. For others, I think there's some food and beverage food and beverage piece to a couple of, that includes a couple of cities. So that was important to us, and it's made its way through both chambers. And now there's no reason to believe that the governor won't sign it.
And what's the rate change?
It doesn't change the rate. It gives our locals the ability to adjust it to 80% of the largest, I think it's 80% of the largest tax on innkeepers, on hotels. So it's 5% here in Howard County, and in Indianapolis it's 10%. So it would allow us to bump it up to at least 8% if we wanted to.
And when you say we, you talk about local leaders.
Local leaders, and actually it's through the county council. So it's not even a mayoral or a city government decision, but it will allow the county council to bump that up to, as written, up to 8%.
Does this have any tie into the convention center?
It does. It gives us, we've put together and formulated a plan to make this happen without any increase, but it gives us a pretty lean operating budget. So we think this will give us a little cushion if it's increased to 6%, 7%, or even possibly 8%.
And for those who may not know, but Kokomo is building a new convention center with hotel downtown. And last time we talked, there was just a lot of demo work happening right now.
Demo work's taking place. We're working on our downtown trail extension right now. If you go over to the site, so there's been a lot of prep work. And this 8% will give us that cushion if it's voted to increase it to the full amount.
I wanted just to get your take. We saw a judge rule in favor of Bloomington's annexation lawsuit over what they called government overreach, or the judge did, at the State House. So how do cities like Kokomo work with state leaders when there's a disagreement?
Well, we haven't had to go as far as on something like an annexation to have any legal conflict. I wish the just like our states, I think it's important to give our states some wiggle room on how we can govern ourselves, and I think that should be afforded to locals as well at the State House. And so we see that a lot of special legislation that really is a problem in a certain township or school corporation or city or town or county, and it seems to become the law of the land across the state. So I wish there was a little more opportunity for self-governance and allow cities and other units of government to experiment a little bit. That's how a lot of the changes have taken place on smoking bans across the country, and some of those initiatives that it starts usually at the local level, and even things like minimum wage increases in other states. A lot of times it starts with just a local ordinance in a larger city, in a Seattle or San Francisco, and it gives them the chance to experiment to see, did the economy collapse? Did it have the effect that they had hoped for? And did it have the impact that they had hoped for? And so I wish it would have never come to that, not only for the city of Bloomington, but really for the state of Indiana. But congratulations to Bloomington.
I saw this article in the Kokomo Tribune. I thought I should just ask you about it because there seems to be some flap or controversy over logs at the yard waste center. Yeah. And something in the way that the city worded a press release, and that they took offense there, that it's not really what's happening. So I just thought maybe we should talk about that.
Sure, I think it's a fair question. Keep in mind, we have the recycling district, which is a taxing unit, no different than the library or a township or county government. And that recycling district covers the entire countywide. Because that they have a place to drop off limbs and leaves, and they bring in a contractor who will chip down large logs and small brush. So the city, private individuals, businesses can drop things off over there, and they change their policy to what size of logs they would allow or what size of tree debris that they would accept. And the frustration is we pick that up. So that's an unfunded mandate. They have now said we're no longer going to, even though they're contracting and they have equipment to take on these larger pieces of wood, we don't have that equipment here locally. So it puts the burden back on our individuals in the street department who go pick up limbs and all those things. And it'll have a bigger impact when we have a bad storm, and we will at some point. Where we have these large amounts, so we're going to have to make some decisions now. Do we buy chainsaws and go through training for all of our street department employees that could be assigned to this task as opposed to what we've been doing? And so it just really pushes the burden back to city government, and that's what we're frustrated about.
You recently, it's been maybe a year or so, but started curbside recycling too, right?
It's actually been about over 3 years.
Has it been 3 years now?
Yeah,
okay.
Yeah, it's been over 3 years. Yeah.
I mean, and we haven't talked about it in a while, but I know that was something that you were rolling out over a period of time, and now maybe 3 years later, How was that process? Is it single stream?
Single stream, yeah. And so how it works is in Kokomo, we pick up trash every week. And every other week on your trash day, you also set out a 96-gallon recycling tote. And this is for, every home gets one and participates, so it's citywide. And so every 2 weeks, we pick up recycling. We take it to a transfer center here in town. A contractor, they sort, and they take care of all the recyclables and send it off to market, whatever they, that's up to them what they do with it. And I would call it a success. But part of that, again, came from the recycling district not having the means and the wherewithal to put together a recycling program. So the city absorbed that program. And because prior to that, they had bins that were scattered throughout the city. It was kind of expensive to maintain. There wasn't. It was a little bit of everything. They actually became, not because of the recycling district, but they came a little bit of local dumps, and people would just abandon things that weren't actually recyclable. So you'd end up with a mattress there or a piece of furniture that really didn't belong there, and forced the city to have these multiple drop-off sites, and they became, especially when the ones were close to parks and things like that. So we started curbside recycling, has helped solve part of that problem. Again, this was going back to the large tree trunks or whatever. It's a little, I don't mind helping out and doing some of this, but they are commissioned and they receive tax money to do their job. And it's not always, it's real easy just to push it onto problem onto somebody else. That doesn't solve a problem. That just pushes it to somebody else.
Right, but then their point is, how do we solve this? Is it fair for them to solve it?
Yeah, my answer would be yeah. That's what they're. That's why the state put them in. That's why they have taxing powers. Yes, I would say that is your responsibility.
Are you having trouble finding places to take the recycling? I mean, more and more we're hearing about cities and bigger areas finding problems with plastics, especially.
Right now, it is not. I'm hearing a lot of that too. That the markets are somewhat, and some of it's because of the trade wars we're in. That some of the markets are drying up, or they're becoming too expensive, and it's not cost efficient to recycle. So we're hearing things. It has not impacted us with our local program as of yet, and hopefully it won't. But the possibility exists, and those things are taking place in other areas.
Any updates, road construction updates, building updates?
Plenty of building construction. Yeah. We've put out our initial bid on road construction projects. I think they're going to be awarded tomorrow at the Board of Works meeting to start the road construction. We've already had a few sidewalk projects, a couple larger sidewalk projects. Building construction, especially on the south side of Kokomo, has really taken off. We received our population numbers. I think they came out Friday. We had a slight uptick in population here in Howard County. They'll release the city of Kokomo and the town numbers here probably in the next month. And I keep in mind it was good news, but it was an estimate. But individual home construction, apartment construction, private dorms for Indiana University Kokomo, those are all big construction projects that are taking place now in Kokomo. So especially on the south side, a lot of development there.
Mm-hmm. And is construction still ongoing? Is it the Kokomo Beach upgrades too?
Yes.
How's that coming along?
Yes, coming along. We're hoping, we're shooting for Memorial Day weekend to have that opened. And so it's the largest investment at Kokomo Beach since it opened. Looks like, I think, 16, 17 years ago. So,
What are some of the things people can expect with those renovations when it opens?
This will be a large kind of a splash area, but not a splash pad. This will be for kind of the kids that are probably 8, 9 years old up to maybe 11, 12 years old. These are ones that may be not big enough to go down the big slides, but they're kind of too a little bit older to play in the younger splash pad area. So this will be a new amenity for those kids in that 8-year-old to 12-year-old age range that way.